All right. I'd like to call to order the August 31st, 2021 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Todd's not able to be with us this evening, so Mr. Smith, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Here. Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. First item on our agenda this evening is I would accept a motion to approve the Columbus Japanese Language School Facility Use Agreement and the Cypress Church Facility Use Agreement.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. And thank you. We have Ryan Walker here to answer any questions. If you'd like to start, maybe give us a little history of this and then open it up for questions. I know I sent you a few questions.
Yes.
So.
The Columbus Japanese Language School, to be honest, I'm not even sure how that kind of came to us. I know that I think the Union County Economic Development team
yes.
had a role to play there, but I would say that's probably going back to maybe May.
Okay.
You know, maybe back that far. So we entered into just some preliminary discussions, and they became more comfortable and started to like the site more and more at Creekview. I actually spent quite a bit of time with them
okay.
Over the summer as they came and visited and looked around, and we drafted an agreement to them that they had for a while. We've done a little back and forth, and we've all kind of settled on agreeable terms. Tim Canelli was involved from the very, very beginning as well.
Okay.
So the building has been a part of this from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
and we've actually just today, you know, we've kind of settled out everything, and I think we're in a good place with it. I'm not going to pretend to be intimately familiar with the Columbus Japanese Language School and, mm-hmm. and its history, but I believe its origination actually had a tie to Honda,
mm-hmm.
and they have they've kind of struggled to find a home over the last year, in part because of the COVID restrictions that came out in 2020. So we would actually be kind of their first home base since they left Worthington. I think it might have even been 2018 or 2019 when that happened. So,
okay.
So I think it will be a good thing for our community. I'm glad we were able to help them out. They're K-12. About 400 students. They primarily service students who at least have a proficiency in the Japanese language, and they reinforce Japanese culture, helping students who are either native Japanese or Japanese families to maintain that culture and language skill, and reinforce some basic subjects like math through Japanese tradition. Obviously, it's just on Saturdays. Their school day, I believe, is 8 to 3. And I'm sure there might be some other questions on that. But then Cypress Church, actually right about the same time, inquired about using our facility somewhere in the district. We looked at a couple of different sites, Sutherland Bunsold. Michelle and I talked at the beginning of that, and I wasn't aware of it, but there was a church there previously.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the differences here is, number one, we have a very short term to start out with, but also they use a company called Mobile Church, which means they bring it all in and they take it all out. So, as I told Michelle at the beginning, you know, my goal is that she would never know they're there. So
mm-hmm.
I've tried to work with them again, quite a bit over the summer to make sure that we were all on the same page about a sort of a leave no trace approach to it. Now, the church is actually only going to use one of the cafeterias, the library, and the auditorium.
Okay.
And I think maybe the band room, but that's it. They won't actually be in any of the classrooms.
Okay, good.
So that it shouldn't be too disruptive there at all. They're keenly aware of their need to sort of be on our team, let's put it that way. They also have a church at London High School, and things have gone pretty well there. So I think we're in a good place there. I'll come back to the Japanese language school, but that contract will pick up in December, and we'll go through basically the end of the school year.
Okay.
And there's the pickup time on that is only about 2 months anyway, once in February. And the same with the Japanese school, actually. So the Japanese school is, their school year actually ends in April, so that agreement only goes through March presently. And again, the pickup time for that, I believe, is in January. So pretty short terms on the front end. So if, we'll both be able to sort of feel each other out and have an escape if necessary. I don't anticipate there being any issues, but they are pretty short terms to start with.
I asked, one of my questions was about the cost, our cost to clean and monitor the facilities before, during, and after both of those groups. And if we have the staff, if you feel comfortable about having staff available.
So the starting point was really on staffing. You know, I was very upfront with both groups from the beginning to say the biggest obstacle, honestly, is just, being able to have the staff. We have three custodians willing to rotate for each of these. I've communicated with those groups, and I'm pretty comfortable with our ability to cover that. The cost, of course, which they're paying, it's about $32, when you wrap it all together for overtime for a custodian. So it's about $14,000 for the Columbus Language School. Their day on a Saturday is significantly more than what it would be at the church. The church is about a third of that. It's significantly less. But again, it's obviously still, let's say, about $32 an hour. The church time is like 7 to noon, I believe, is their time. So, or maybe it's 7 to, well, anyway, put that somewhere off the top of my head, but it's significantly less time, obviously. But and both are paying, in part of in this agreement is...
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I forgot to turn my phone off. Excuse me.
Just to make sure that's covered, they both have a down payment as a part of the agreement to make sure that we're not going to run any issues with,
payment.
And that's all covered in their initial payment. So, so we don't have to worry about any expense prior to that agreement starting.
Good. And I saw they have regular payments too throughout.
Correct.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the custodial coverage was really kind of step one to make sure that those folks were comfortable with their ability to cover that. And like I said, we'll be on a rotating basis for this. Obviously, the church doesn't start till December, but we've talked through that. I had mentioned that Tim was on the front end of this, and he has communicated with the staff. I really wasn't part of that. That was Tim's communication. There was a question about the teacher's access to the building. I guess the easy answer is they would have access to the building, obviously, if there's a class going on in a particular classroom, that teacher really wouldn't be able to get in there until after that. I know they talked through that with their staff because that question got asked of me. I just relayed the answer to them. But if they wanted to go in and, say, use the the warp room or the other resources in the building, and I don't really see any reason why that couldn't be the case. So,
okay.
And the attendants have those conversations with. In fact, he told me today they're ready for them. So,
okay.
So I think they're in a pretty good spot with it. And I think also, you know, as I've talked with the custodians, we'll evolve with this somewhat. Mm-hmm. They've already developed a little bit of a relationship with the folks from the school, and they've already sort of talked through some expectations, and there'll be a little bit of a learning curve, I think, and we both understand that. But yeah, again, I think Tim's been great. I mean, he's supported the effort from the beginning, and we've already had to collaborate quite a bit just to make sure that their storage needs were taken care of, and but it didn't really infringe upon what we needed as a school. So again, I don't think we're really in any territory that the school's really sacrificing anything for this. Okay. So it's and again, with the short term, I think it's pretty low risk. It's a nice financial return for us. So.
The startup timing is December for both?
No, the school actually, their first day of class would be
Saturday.
So we're right down the wire.
Yeah.
the church wouldn't start until December. They might have a kind of a walk through the church month before that December, but they wouldn't have any actual services before that. In fact, the Bunsell has a performance, I think, scheduled for the 5th of December, and they would, we've talked about them not starting until after that production is complete. So.
Okay. The one other question that popped into my head was, I think I said something about, do you know if anybody from Marysville could attend that school, or do you know if they intend to, market here?
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything to prevent anyone from Marysville attending. And I think it's part of the audience is Japanese.
Right.
I don't know that there's a generational requirement or anything, but
there
is an application process.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with it, but I don't think there's anything that excludes. Well, I know they don't specifically exclude anybody.
Okay.
That's my understanding. So if there was a student here who wanted to be a part of it, I don't think there's anything that would prohibit them from applying to be a part of that school. They do bus kids, and I know that's one of the questions.
Yeah.
I do not know the total geographic range, but a lot of them are coming from Dublin.
Right.
Inside the 270 area.
Mm-hmm.
So they are bringing a lot of kids out on buses. They have some events, field days and things like that. There might be more of a parent crowd here, and that's periodically throughout their school calendar. I don't think there's anything to prevent any of our kids if they wanted to participate from applying. I know there was you also asked about the kitchen. They're not using that. Not the group is using the kitchen.
Good.
Yeah, I am aware that when Honda came, Honda executives and Japanese workers, not only with Honda but with all the subsidiary companies and so forth, as they were moving staff here. In Japan, typically kids go to the school during the week and then attend a Saturday school to advance their math knowledge or their language or those kinds of things. And so there was within the communities of Marysville and Dublin a desire to try to make accommodation for the expectations that Japanese employees of these companies would expect. And so I think it got started actually at Ohio State originally and was conducted someplace down around OSU, and then it moved up to Worthington and so forth. So it's been around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to expand We have great buildings, and I think it behooves us to try to use the resource as much as we can for the advancement of our community and of those that are our neighbors. So.
Yeah, and like with our Japanese program too. And I think that's makes a lot of sense.
I was going to say my son's actually his favorite subject is Japanese.
Is it okay?
Way ahead of it on this, but if there was some way he could be involved, I think that would be fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe
right.
If this you know works out, there's a way to connect those programs. But
we're all about partnerships, right?
Absolutely.
So okay. Absolutely. Great. Any other questions of anyone?
No, I just was I know the agreement says that they have the use of Mill Valley areas,
parking lots, green space,
green space, and so forth.
Right.
So they certainly have a lot of activities. It'll be interesting to watch and see how all of this unfolds this year.
Yeah.
But like I said, I see it as an exciting opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I think it's where they're coming. The creek is a little bit limited in the actual green space that they have, so it does provide a little reading opportunity because it's really within walking distance to Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a pretty significant patch of green space there that they can use.
Right.
So, it does provide them with a robust offering. You know, they do have some clubs and things that. Soccer club and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That they're also part of their school, which are not on the level of say our high school athletic programs, but there are just another offering, and those green spaces give them an opportunity to do that at the end of their school day.
So, have these two agreements been run by the legal department?
Yes,
they crafted the agreement.
I noticed both of them. Have a disclaimer, a requirement of a disclaimer, both the church and the school, that they're supposed to say they're not affiliated with, sponsor or affiliated is a phrase, with the Marysville schools.
Yes.
So, I presume that the legal team put that, I don't know, but is that... Like the signs that the church puts out front, because there's something about that they're allowed to put signage up, like on the day of, there's, I presume they're going to be having like worship services or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed to put temporary signs up. So is that, do they have to disclaim that they're connected with the schools on those signs, or do they just put a sign up that says Cypress Church Sunday morning, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I know that when we discussed it, a lot of it had to be with their online, their website, their promotional materials, and things like that, to say that they're not a part of an offering for Marysville Schools. Their, you know, worship service, 9 a.m. or whatever sign, I don't know that that was really in my mind as something that they would put the disclaimer on. I mean, we could certainly have them do it if
I don't
do that.
I don't. Have a preference one way or the other, as long as like the legal team knows that what we're doing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I was driving by Blumsold and there was a big sign for a church, it might go through my head that we're sort of endorsing this church in some way, and it might not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They do it all the time.
Yeah, I know.
They do this all the time. It's extremely common.
Yeah.
Anyone that's building a church, they rent space from a school while they raise money to build a church. So it's not in the least bit unusual.
The signage that has been used by churches that use the Early College High School and Bunsold and some of the others are typically the 3.5 foot tall, I call them an A-frame sign. You know, that they set out in front of the building or
like a portable, those portable signs that they can set
out. Nobody's put up a huge banner or, you know, hung something from the edifice.
I guess that was part of my question, man. It's been a while since I've driven past a school that had a sign for a church. I wasn't really aware of how common it was.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's done quite a bit.
I agree. I do think it's common.
There are a number of churches in Marysville that have their own buildings that began meeting within our school buildings. And if I'm correct on this, if we rent our facilities to groups and individuals, we have to rent to churches and other like organizations. We're not allowed to discriminate in that respect. So,
but I mean, it's a good. I'm glad you brought up the point, though, because I know, like you said, our legal counsel did craft both of these agreements, so they have definitely reviewed them and feel comfortable with them, and feel like there's plenty of outs for us if anything comes up. You know, there's our ability to get out of it without any problems, and then there's also responsibilities asked of the people doing the leasing as well. So,
okay,
yeah, I believe it's fair to the renters, but it also, you know,
is a benefit.
Gives us opportunities to, to end the agreement if we need to. And I think there's safeguards built into it to make sure that both sides are satisfied with the agreement.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and second. Any more discussion?
And this motion is on the Columbus Japanese language school.
Actually, I introduced both of them. A motion to approve both the Columbus Japanese language school use agreement and the Cypress Church facility use agreement.
Okay.
So we do have a motion to approve both of them. So, no more discussion. I would, if you could do a roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Yes. Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. So thank you very much for being here. And do you want me to just leave these on your desk?
That would be great. Yeah.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your meeting.
We will. Okay, for the next part of our meeting, just kind of that broad strategic planning. So I know Nan and Brian have been working on our board orientation book. It's going to be kind of part of an overall board handbook. And then I also used to have copies of our work plan from last year that I wanted to take some time to look at that and self-evaluate a little bit. And see if there's anything that we think needs to be updated for this current year. So you can start with the orientation.
So I sent a PowerPoint to everyone. We don't have a projector.
There it is.
So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So first thing, it's broken into two steps.
Okay.
So this is kind of the original manual.
Right.
And I just used the same book because it's labeled correctly.
Okay.
And this happens to be mine.
Uh-huh.
But we made some changes to the inside here.
Okay.
So we've incorporated a checklist at the start of the book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it applies specifically for new board members. So all the classic things, getting set up for email, setting up board docs accounts, collecting contact information so we can get in touch with each other and the rest of the governance team, collect bio for the district website, district website orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of information on there, and it
Yes. Frankly, it takes you a little bit of time to figure out where everything is hosted.
Right.
Also, how Board Doc works, you have to kind of figure that out. So it includes training for those type of things. Schedule a meeting with the superintendent treasurer, board members. Schedule tour of the district buildings and introductions to principals and admin, central office. And then I won't read everything, but I'm going to pass this around
okay.
when I'm done for everyone to look at. So this was kind of your check sheet that you started several mm-hmm. years ago.
Right.
And I went through and I added a couple things and changed a thing just to
Excellent.
Update it.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on here, it's actually labeled for the current agendas so okay. that you can keep your current agendas in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I put at the very front of it was the new organizational okay. chart because mm-hmm. a new member needs to know who the players are and who reports
right.
to who. And since we just kind of made big changes with the organization of the district,
mm-hmm.
That'll probably be handy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then after that, the links to instructions to board docs and how board docs works
mm-hmm.
and the sunshine laws. There's a lot of legal implications
mm-hmm.
that you have to learn about before you kind of start going with the school board, or you can step definitely into some quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. or worse, right?
Yeah. And then meetings, just schedule when the meetings are.
Mm-hmm.
And then school calendar.
Good.
And then contact information for all the schools, mm-hmm. all the staff here in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding who the players are. This is board assignments done mm-hmm. for our committees.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that you have committees and what committee roles do. This mm-hmm. at least opens the door for questions as to what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into our operating protocol.
Okay.
And updated that. I included the chain of command sheet,
nice.
Which we haven't updated, but
mm-hmm.
that was a problem about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I think it's a good reminder for anybody coming in. We have a very strict chain of command requirement
right.
within the board. And then, of course, our goals, which we're going to be discussing a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's right there, easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic plan for the district here.
Good.
We're going to go into the process of updating it, but this has been our plan for about the last seven years, maybe
mm-hmm.
seven, eight
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spot for negotiations.
Okay.
So I have a kind of a sheet that I included in the PowerPoint. I wasn't sure if I wanted to duplicate it in both locations.
Gotcha.
Maybe it's something we can talk about.
Okay.
And then superintendent's job description, which is kind of important, and also then the treasurer goals and evaluation,
mm-hmm.
And same for the treasurer. So treasurer's job description, goals and evaluation, and then just some room at the end here. Or any updates or notes you want to take. So
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of original book with a little bit of enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
I put together a PowerPoint just because new board members are going to have to go over this stuff multiple times.
Right.
School of Finance, I'm 4 plus years in and still going over stuff because...
Right.
It's extremely complicated. Okay. So I just broke it down into three sections. First one is, what is your role and responsibility, and how does the board work? Number two, learning a little bit about everything in the business of schools. And number three, learning about management and finance of schools. I started out with my favorite quote
I love it.
From all the classes and training yes. we've ever taken. I absolutely love this because yeah. everybody falls for this. The question is, raise your hand if you're a problem solver. And literally everyone's hand goes up in that room.
Yeah.
And the answer is, sorry, that's not your role as a board member. Okay, because
yeah.
everyone that runs for school board falls into that exact trap.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get in there, they want to solve the problem, but yeah. it's not your role. So it goes in to just additional points talking about what your role is,
mm-hmm.
About all the laws mm-hmm. and also rules,
mm-hmm.
and kind of laws are definitely federal, state laws.
Mm-hmm.
Rules are things based on policy within our district.
Okay.
The Ohio School Board Association is your best source of information and training,
mm-hmm.
especially for a new board member. There is a ton of training that they put out there that I deem absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you may believe you know everything about the schools, but you will be surprised by the amount of knowledge that you are now going to be required to build as a board member. So,
mm-hmm.
I like the way you word that.
I know, yes.
So, I'm not going to read every single one of them. You mm-hmm. guys can definitely read it on your own. But this goes to the book that the governance core that we read. It's mm-hmm. about being on a board and what being on a board means and what the focus should be. So it hits on the key concepts of vision, structure, accountability, and advocacy. So it gives you a little bit of detail on that. And then school board code of ethics. I chose the longer list. There was a condensed list, but mm-hmm. I thought if you're a new board member, let's make sure you hear all the things that you need to be careful about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key things is that you have to make decisions based on what's best for all the kids,
mm-hmm.
not a specific group of people or specific. Okay, so you can read through that. There's a lot of them. There's maybe 20
mm-hmm.
bullet points there. And then this is just key things every board member needs to track. So talking about the OSBA bill tracker, legislative tracking mm-hmm. of impact items coming to policy changes. So we have a committee. Mr. Smith is actually our legislative aide that helps keep us up to date on that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes those committee assignments, one person kind of falls on the sword mm-hmm. so that we all don't have to read every one of those 10,000 emails that comes out on a daily basis. School finance changes, five-year forecast, and possible levies. OSBA has excellent classes and workshops related to school finance. To say that school finance is slightly complicated, it is a huge understatement.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely complicated. How to build great community partnerships, how to engage your business community with your schools, how to create economic development partnerships with your city and county, parent and community communications and satisfaction level, job performance of the superintendent and treasurer, always be creating a vision for your district through contact with other board members. Most importantly, this job is all about all the kids in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of a lot of reminders on things that we've learned, but for a new board member, maybe this is something that they right. can go through.
Well, I think it's good. I think it's good for reminders for all of us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
and
sometimes
plus to help them get up to speed quicker.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
definitely.
I wish we would have had that in the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
So the next section is kind of just on the business of schools. So just a little bit statistics that can be updated as needed, but the mm-hmm. number of students, the number of staff, the number of buses, how big our district is. I included a district map because I think it really shows how huge our district is.
Right.
Sometimes we think of it just within the city limits, but the district's actually much larger than that. Went over the buildings. We have 10 buildings. Personalized learning for all students is our goal. And then I did a little bit of explanation about athletics, arts, college, career forward.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about, you know, what division we're in, sometimes a board member might not even have any idea about what division we're in or what programs we have, especially at the high school level. So, and then I talked about our choral program, band program, and show choir, and then in addition to that, Marysville has a strong focus on career pathways, offering many certifications, college credits, and internship opportunities during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically to help focus everyone, new board member, to find their area of interest.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our separate areas of interest, and this is designed to kind of draw that out.
I just would throw out a little point, a comment right here so I don't forget it later, but I like including that about the strong choral program and band program and show choir, but other things that popped into my head right away were FFA and our Japanese language, you know, so maybe try to, instead of calling out a few or you know what I guess I'm just trying to figure out another way to just highlight that we have so many, you know, like auto tech and, I mean, like, if you sit here and think long enough, there wouldn't be enough room on this page. So, figuring out a way to...
Well, I actually started listing, like, all the sports. I'm like,
I know, yeah. Yeah, you know.
But you're right.
So,
we have a fabulous FFA program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll...
Think about having
a
mock trial.
I know, yeah. I mean, really, there's so many... strong thing. So maybe
this is a draft
to name a few.
And,
or something. Yeah.
And I think the goal is that we'll have something finished to vote on at the September meeting. Is that
perfect?
Where we're all
have
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's room to tweak it, and I think it looks really good, though.
I know. I'd love it. Yeah. Okay. Now, so sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's fine.
I do have a question now. So they're going to get handed that,
mm-hmm.
or everybody will get handed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then do you picture that the slides will be printed out and in there, or are we going to somehow present the slides, the PowerPoint slides, to them, like in a meeting?
I think my image is that we would present them and then give them a hard copy that could maybe go in the back of the book here.
Mm-hmm.
Just right. Because I think that it's a good tool for conversation.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
So there could be, I think we started to talk about this, but it's not clear in my head. When somebody new comes on the board, there will be like a special meeting with whom?
Well, I think like we always reach out to them and say, hey, let's get together. And like, you know, so there's that checklist in there. So I would envision, you know, they're meeting with the superintendent and the treasurer, and then meeting either with the board president or some other, you know, like maybe if they're friends with somebody that's been on the board, and saying, hey, let's go have coffee. We have this, you know, any the current board members would all be familiar with this orientation book, and just take that time to share it with them.
It could just be one-on-one.
I think so, yeah. I think for a first start.
There is the board orientation, or the board organizational meeting.
Yes, that organizational meeting where they get sworn in.
And, you know, prior to that meeting, the members are sworn in and for the beginning of their terms. And that might be an appropriate time. Because I think a lot of this, I don't think you'd want to get into all of the detail in that meeting, because there's a huge amount of stuff.
Right.
But highlighting some of the different topics and just a few of the items to give the new board members a sense of the breadth of what they're doing And I also think if people take time to watch the organizational meeting or listen to it or whatever, that they'll learn a great deal also. This is just stellar.
It is, I know.
So the next slide has to do with the business of the board. So just emphasizing that review and approval of district policy is one of our primary responsibilities. I kind of just did a little clip art there of what the policies look like when they're all condensed up. And then take part in various public meetings. I just snipped out board docs to see what a standard board meeting would look like. And this would also give a chance to kind of talk about Robert's rules for running the meeting and why it's very specific on how the meeting has to be run, how motions are made, how things are accepted. It's very systematic. It's not just a open town hall meeting type concept.
Now, is that a legal requirement or not? Like, I don't remember when I started this, if we're required to use Robert's Rules of Order.
I don't think that's a legal, I don't think it's a legal requirement.
It's the standard.
Yes, it's highly, highly, highly recommended.
Okay, because this already came up in July where I thought we'd voted on something and then I found out later we didn't actually, remember we had to return to the same issue in August because we didn't do the rules right.
Because it had been an addition to the agenda, but we'd already approved the agenda and then added something after the agenda was approved. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I guess if you, again, it's not, I don't think it's a legal issue.
By the time we got to the August meeting, that whole thing had been reworked.
See, there's still things I'm learning.
And I'm not even
going to work very much longer.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And then this is where I just put in that organizational chart and key dates. So we can either, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I probably want a hard copy of those key dates in here. Also, this works as a good, the hard thing works as a good reference guide. The PowerPoint, I think, works as a good conversational tool. And then we move into talking about finances. So management of finances, and I pulled up the slides related to total monthly revenue and comparison to monthly expenditures. And I took the kind of end of the year so you can see the comparison for the entire time frame. It's good for opening up discussion. You can see the spike some of the revenue come in. In that like July and August time frame, that's when property taxes drop in, and then you can see that again in February. So that's why we kind of have those big money spikes at those particular times.
Right.
But the spending is pretty even all across the board, even in summertime, because we're getting ready for the next school year. And then the other companion slide is where does our money come from? So we've got like 36% from local real estate tax and 38% from state funding. Those are kind of the two big pie pieces that help someone coming in understand where our money's coming from. And then the other slide is where we're spending it, wages and benefits. Our two big pie pieces on that side. And then I just stuck in a slide that kind of explains all the different terminology. And I talked to Brian about that we wanted to see if Todd could create, I don't know if this is possible, but a 2 or 3 paragraph summary of school finance. To go in there. School finance, I'm 4 years in, I'm still learning things.
I think Todd is game. We talked to him about it before, and if anybody can do it, he can do it.
I know, and I thought he had sent something a while ago, but well, so okay. he might. I think he already did something.
And he can put it just in a term there that boxes that.
And part of the point of this was we wanted to create something that's in very user-friendly terms and doesn't make a lot of use of acronyms and things that it takes a little bit of time to use. So this is very introductory level. This is kind of what we're all about, and it's designed to kind of draw out what people's areas of interest are and where they want to start building their education about schools.
And that's good. And I like that you're keeping it
simple. Look back on...
Because I think the simple thing
is June 22nd.
Okay.
He sent a school finance summary.
Was it to the whole board?
I believe so.
Okay, we'll take a look at it. I wrote the date. June 22nd.
Yes, June 22nd.
Yeah, I was even going through that.
Lameless times. I wish we'd had this when we started.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Man, I think if somebody, whoever the new person is, it doesn't have to be the board president. It could be Dick.
Right.
It could be whoever.
Right.
You know, get your laptop out. Mm-hmm. Have a nice sit down.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. You don't have to call the whole board together.
Right.
And just really help them get started with some of the things that we had to sort of figure out on our own.
Right.
I think it could be really great.
I know, and I love the format of the PowerPoint.
I was telling her I like the simplicity.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming.
In layman's terms, and then
right.
Even if you're in a meeting, a question pops to your mind, if you have this in there,
right,
you can actually go to it. You know, because how many times I'm in there and I'm like, okay, now check this out.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, I do. And I think those three areas are perfect. You know, what's your role? How does a board work? And then the business of schools and finance. Mm-hmm. And I think those are perfect.
Okay, good. I'll take all the jobs.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you both. Yeah.
And we'll make some improvements.
Okay.
And this is going to be somewhat of a living document.
I mean, yes, I know. I mean, I don't know if it's like there's any way to add on that checklist to, you know, maybe try and find somebody on the board to be responsible for
keeping it updated
and making sure, you know, have put the new school calendar in there if there's any changes to the chain of to the organizational chart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that you can add a category to somebody
to the assignment list. Yeah,
right, to the assignment
you could have
list
kind of board board handbook orientation
and computer what would you call that?
PowerPoint
doc up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. Administrator. Yeah. An administrator of that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That is fabulous, you guys. I'm really impressed.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah. It's interesting. Todd's brief summary of school finance is a full page.
But it's only, it's like two or three paragraphs, right?
It's three paragraphs.
Right.
And I, to be honest, I've never seen something encapsulated on school finance that was this brief.
And I know when I read it, I responded just to him alone and said that, I always appreciate one-pagers, and that the only comment I had was asking him to work in that there is a long and short-term permanent improvement budget forecast, and include a reference to the district website with a link to the current five-year forecast. Mm-hmm. I thought that one-pager would be helpful, and you know, Ashley put that one page on the district website too. So I don't know if you put that on the website or not, but okay. Well, good. So we'll have that to vote on and to approve in September. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk to about tonight was our work plan that I gave you guys a copy.
Yeah.
And I was just going to open it up so if people had comments.
Is this after the comments we made last time we looked at it?
That is our work plan for this last year.
Okay, gotcha.
So we can both kind of go through there and say, hey, do we feel like we, kind of assess our own work this past year, and then use that as a start to talk about this current year. I just have to get to where I am. Board. Okay, work plan. Okay, so I have that one. Okay, so if we start with this past year that we finished up in June, I guess, academic school year, if you look through here, is there anything that jumps out at you or any comments that you would want to make about, how you feel we performed as a board, and did we follow our work plan? When you look at that, is there something that jumps out at you? It's like, man, we either nailed it or we missed the boat. Goal number one, we were talking about student performance, that the board's going to support policies and educational trends that promote collaboration and innovation with the goal of positively impacting student learning. And we did add last year, which I think is probably going to have to stay on there for this year, that, during the pandemic, we're going to be committed to health and safety of our staff and students, that we're committed to the education of each student, regardless of which, how their instruction is received. So with that in mind, looking back on the year.
We definitely achieved all of the first page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go over to the back. But
There was lots of professional development, that's for sure. Wasn't there? And lots of resources, I felt, that we provided.
All the meals, the whole, mm-hmm. the virtual, everything. That mm-hmm. all, I think that was A1.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty good about it, thinking about the last year. I feel like this coming year, the challenges have not eased up. Now we were presented with a lot of data about how the kids did coming out of the hybrid year.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we know some things that we didn't know.
Right.
And that's why we're all on the same page. 5 days a week is the best.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're still in this weird sort of not quite out of the pandemic, and we have to balance keeping the kids in 5 days a week
mm-hmm.
with all the other craziness.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenges have not lessened. We need to stay on top of this, of thinking both about what do they need educationally and what do we need to keep everybody safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get any simpler just because the pandemic's been going on so long. No.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing...
But are we talking about what this last year? We're not talking about upcoming, right?
Right.
We're just talking about, did we meet these goals?
Yes. Okay, so we'll stick to last year in case somebody, in case there's something that is just glaring. If you want to go through every single goal, we can.
I'm fine to just think about how we did the last year, but I am pointing out that we need to stay on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think financially, I thought we came out of it wonderfully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm really proud how, I don't know if proud is the right word, but I'm really grateful at how Todd was able to use the additional funding
mm-hmm.
To make up for funds that had been cut earlier, And, you know, at the end of the year, we ended up in better shape than we had been before.
Right.
Yeah.
Even, and we didn't, you know, I don't think we skimped on resources.
No. I think, you know, we complimented both Todd and Diane for mm-hmm. their foresight in their evaluations,
mm-hmm.
That they took a very conservative financial approach early on. You know, the federal government stepped up with some remarkable support, which allowed us the flexibility to meet all the financial obligations without having to stress our five-year forecast.
Right, right. And you know, I think about we extended the contract too mm-hmm. with NEA, and you know, you just think about long term. Maintaining that good relationship with our staff and, you know, offering a competitive wage, not something that's out of whack with the surrounding areas at all, you know, but I think it was a win-win, and that's, I think that's important to mention as well.
Well, Brian was mentioning that there's a lot of stress moving forward.
Yes.
But having the ability to resolve some things that typically cause stress
mm-hmm.
And allows us
yeah.
greater control in terms of planning and in terms of being able to offer consistency.
Mm-hmm. Then the next area is, you know, talking about maintaining a safe learning environment. So I think that would cover both health safety protocols as well as a lot of the permanent improvement mm-hmm. work and maintenance that's been done throughout the district to both maintain and improve our facilities.
Which one are you on, Sue?
I'm just going to goal, like the goal number three covers safety, so I'm just kind of taking them
yeah.
as one. The first one okay. is student achievement, then financial stability, and now safety.
Okay.
So.
I had an opportunity to have some conversations with a couple of people, and they were asking about impact and drive stadiums. Mm-hmm. And I pointed out that there was a lot of safety that was built in,
mm-hmm.
the turf
mm-hmm.
that was put down, the pad that went under the turf, the fill, the little sand granules and
mm-hmm.
so forth in there. You know, all of those kinds of things were safety
mm-hmm.
issues where we were able to offer our students the best surface for play.
And feel safe in those stands versus before when people would stop on them and you're like, how old are these?
Yeah.
I'll remind you again, I put those things.
Yes.
I feel like when I look at the first three goals, one of the things that really helped, not just this last year, but for a while now, was having particular people on it. So I know Dick is up on the legislative.
Mm-hmm.
You get a report every, and Amy's meeting with the safety.
Mm-hmm.
You get a report, and you're now doing student performance and
mm-hmm.
so on. It's really mm-hmm. helpful, that framework. Like I'm looking at goal three, objective eight, step four, maintain awareness of state law and its impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Dick is on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like
yeah.
pretty good about how we've been, you know, keeping up with these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the last one is talking about community partnerships, that we're going to represent our district as supporters of public education.
Where are you now?
That's goal number four.
Okay.
So there's, you know, those are really just talking about networking, good public relations with the community, engaging with businesses, sharing collaborative opportunities with the superintendent, visiting the buildings, pending health department guidelines, and
well, visiting the buildings we're getting back to now, right? Are we
well, yeah, I mean we did it at the end of the school year
right.
last year. And then I know that's, well, that the Diane's meeting with that parent advisory group tonight, and they, one of the things they were going to talk about was visitors and right. what their plan, you know, what they thought made sense okay. right now.
I think right now, with this code coming back around in our schools,
yeah.
I know. No way.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody from the outside should be in except the teachers and the kids and,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
Let's let it flatten out again.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But thankfully, we were able to get in at the end of the year. We were able to have convocation at the beginning of the year, which I think everybody really enjoyed having a chance to see some of our staff members again and.
Yeah,
and even the extracurricular events. You know, last Friday night, first home football game, and it was wonderful yeah. to see everybody out there.
That was pretty packed too.
It was.
I mean, the action step does say visit each building trust your pending district and health department guidelines. So
yes.
So we'll do it if we can.
Yes.
And I think mm-hmm. that's how we've been handling it. So I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go in. I missed the one in the spring, and now. I still want to go back.
Yeah.
Wait until they
give us the green light.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And I guess
turnout was good up Friday night.
Yeah, turnout.
Oh yeah, it was really good. And they had a rain delay. And I did see somebody posted something about the kids that were in the small practice field and that when they started playing the national anthem, every single one of them stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was quiet and respectful.
And that was not even from Marysville. That's sad.
Somebody from out of town noticed that.
Said that they were just so impressed.
Yeah. So it's nice to, you know, our students and our staff really do make us proud to be Monarchs. So.
That's right.
Well, and the administration, mm-hmm. when that delay was called, the football team was able to go in the building. They opened up the portion of the high school
for
all of the students that didn't have rides home or that were going to wait to move out. So,
our PIP was excellent again.
Yeah. They were, I know.
You know, so they were, you know, there was a place for people to get out and be safe, and I was very glad to know that the administration, I don't know if they had a plan or that just was their thought, but it was very appropriate.
Yeah.
So.
Good teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I look at this, I know that we have reviewed this from time to time. We've changed the wording. Mm-hmm. And as I read through, I don't see much for this coming year that I would change. All of our completion dates on this plan are continuous.
Right.
I don't think anything has an end date. You know, the work of the board goes on. And on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a question about communication, the last one. So we have action step number 3, maintain and update the board website. Is somebody maintaining the live stream feed? We're live streaming every board meeting now, correct?
We haven't, yes. We're not live streaming this one.
Not this one. But
the intent is to live stream those, and so that's really not our. I mean,
okay, so that's
the tech. The tech department
that
handles
going
that.
Right?
Yeah.
Pardon? Is that going all right?
They're good.
And I guess that when we maintain and update the board website. I know I do look at that every once in a while, and but that maybe that needs to be added to the checklist, just as a reminder for people. You know, every once in a while, your bio. Maybe you want to update your bio. Maybe you've changed jobs, or maybe you know you. I know, like you added a few things, but I think the font is a little. Funky on what you had added, and I forgot to say something to somebody.
Yeah, I sent it to Donna and asked her to do it, and that could well be. I just looked to see whether or not
yeah.
said what I asked her to.
Yes. I did see it on there, but that might be something to include with whoever's in charge of the handbook and everything, that they periodically remind board members, hey, do you have, you know, take a look at your bio. Is there anything you'd like to have changed on there? Or any, like, the general statement at the beginning.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people look at it like, well, this hasn't been changed for 5 years. You know? Yeah. And you know, maybe that's fine, but...
The other thing I wanted to bring up about this, what we've just been through, mm-hmm. this is still under goal for community engagement. So I've noticed that these emails come in and you respond to them, and I think that's great. So I commend you for all that work that you're taking on. I think that's really important for our community trust. We also have the coffees going again.
Yes.
Right? I think that's really great because mm-hmm. that's where we get to engage them informally.
Right.
Now, the public participation part, mm-hmm. it's half an hour, mm-hmm. it's 3 minutes each, mm-hmm. you always explain it very clearly mm-hmm. at the front end. I don't think there's anything lacking in your explanation mm-hmm. of how it's supposed to work, or the philosophy of it, which is this is mm-hmm. our business meeting. This mm-hmm. is not something we need to do at all. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, at the last meeting, there were people that were blowing right through the 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. There were people yelling out mm-hmm. while we were trying to conduct business. And I felt like you did everything you could. I felt for you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. And I thought you did great.
Thank you.
I'm just raising as a question because of that experience, which I thought mm-hmm. for me was there was just a lot of rudeness in the room, and it wasn't very professional, and it wasn't helpful to us.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to revisit how we structure, how we do the public participation?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I think about, like, Amy and I now have been on the board almost 10 years, and in those 10 years, there have been... I can count maybe three times that we've had challenging public participation times, and every time they were, you know, really emotional issues, and so I feel like in general, you know, there's nothing really that needs to be changed, and I think it's just that to me, I really was grateful for the training that we get from OSBA. And attending the training from OSBA, and listening to some people talk about maybe their experiences, and then Cheryl Ryan, I think, from OSBA, she always does a great job giving tips on how to handle situations like that.
Okay.
So I felt like that helped me a little bit, but
you know,
I'm not sure what you could change.
Something that we could think about is that if we know there is going mm-hmm. to be a very controversial situation coming into the meeting, which that mm-hmm. we just had, we can have a resource officer posted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it came pretty close to people, you know, coming head to head to
Do you mean
know.
Like in the room?
Yeah, just mm-hmm. in the room to conduct order.
Because we did
Yes.
I think that when we were first on the board,
yes.
there was a police presence in the
yes.
room. And we usually have,
funny how it kind of calms down when
yes.
there's a police presence in the room. So when you know that you're going to have a big up to do, mm-hmm. just having someone stand there, because mm-hmm. they can also, without Sue having to ask three times, mm-hmm. they can approach them and say, that's enough, or you're going to be escorted out.
Let me help you to your seat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's, you know, I mean,
I wouldn't mind that. If we thought it was close to spiraling out of control, and somehow we salvaged it, so that was mm-hmm. great. But yeah, if even a little thing like that, if that would help.
It does help.
It would be, it would. I would feel better about it. I didn't know what we were going to do if they continued to mm-hmm. blow past the time limit, if they continued to interrupt
mm-hmm.
and yell things out. They were questioning us while we were conducting business.
Right, mm-hmm. and so I think that if we know that's coming, because we didn't know they were going to go that far. I mean, mm-hmm. we knew that we were having people show up.
Right.
But I'm thinking when we have a controversy from now on, mm-hmm. and it does that, mm-hmm. maybe just have Don McGlynn come, or, you know, just be on standby, because then they can handle the crisis. We don't even have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that as board members.
And
we're in our meeting, and they've got to respect our meeting, and therefore our resource officer can make that happen.
Yeah, and we have had administrators, some additional administrators there at the building, at the meetings as well.
Yes.
That are available
yes.
to help out. And I think some, you know, they usually, we try and resolve it without
right.
having to bring somebody else in, you know, because that's, you just want to get through it if you can,
but
without,
like
without
said,
having
this
to yell
only
or
our
anything.
Third one
yes.
that
right.
got disruptive and kind of a little bit explosive.
Right.
Our one.
Oh, yeah.
Was
yes.
like off the charts, our second one.
Yes.
And
which one was that, the rip?
That was the
yes.
rip.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was like the auditorium filled front to back. And very,
right.
Very
and there was police presence there.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I think the other thing is just that reminding people, trying to educate them, like you said, trying to explain to them what the purpose is. And if you, I guess in my mind, if you start out just kind of reminding people what it is and how it works, and just asking them to, you know,
yes.
work with us, because we want to get through this, you know.
Yeah.
Is print that up. Print up the rules. That if anybody signs up for public participation, they mm-hmm. need to take that, pick up a sheet, read it,
mm-hmm.
and then have on there, if you become disruptive or interrupt the meeting, you will be asked to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, we could actually print up a sheet mm-hmm. that these are the rules of participation.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 minutes, if you're not finished, you need to be, you know, sit down, you're finished.
Mm-hmm.
And
so one of the things that happened, maybe you've seen this before, it was sort of new to me. It's like some of the people in the room thought it was a discussion between us and them. Remember, we
right.
were talking
yeah.
about you and I, we were all trying to figure out what we were going to do with this next policy,
mm-hmm.
and they started like yelling
yeah.
questions at us,
mm-hmm.
and like it almost...
They thought it was like more of a forum than a...
Right.
Than
with Diane, they were yelling questions to Diane.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there was a lady that I was close to,
mm-hmm.
and Diane turned and said, are there any questions?
Yes.
And Diane was looking generally in...
Like you, towards you
toward
and Amy,
and
I think.
So forth.
Yes.
And she told me after the meeting, she didn't know whether Diane was asking questions for
right.
the audience.
Right, she was the one, who asked.
Well, the thing of this,
yeah.
we
she
should never be looking at the audience when we're conducting our meeting. Like,
right.
we even the safety thing,
yes.
now, I can say, for you out there, there are some pamphlets up above if
right.
you'd like to have some more detail.
Right.
But I should never be addressing them
mm-hmm.
when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
I should only be addressing
here's,
you guys.
Here's the thing about that, Amy. I realized a couple times I wasn't addressing them, but I was addressing the live feed.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes when we're in a board meeting, we do make statements that we expect to either be in the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
or people to be listening. Sometimes mm-hmm. we address the parents right in our meeting. Like,
mm-hmm.
so it does get a little bit weird. It does get like somebody in the room might think, like you said, it's a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I think that's why it is important. I think that's a great point, Amy, that, you know, it's a reminder to us too that this is, it's our business meeting.
Right.
So if somebody came in right now, because anybody could come to it, you know,
yeah.
it's fine for them to watch, but
we could,
you know, we really, yeah, like we are talking amongst ourselves.
Okay.
And, you
I'm
know, can
that.
Clearly say if there's, you know, if you have questions, we can talk after the meeting, but this is our business meeting, and, you know, so.
And here's what else I like.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that situation, it'd
yeah.
be better for your room to be set up like this.
Well, it,
with
I
the
know.
Audience out there.
Yes.
Because then we
right.
are actually conducting within our group.
Right.
We are talking
instead
to
of
each
facing,
other
instead of facing them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that can be
yeah.
changed.
And I was thinking, even at the early college high school, like I struggle. I can't see the board that's up there that we're facing.
Right.
So a lot of times I'm kind of turning halfway. So maybe even changing our
but
things so
like
that
him.
We are, yes, like this, facing the big one on the
yes.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And like our backs aren't totally I mean, you know, we're not totally showing our backs to the audience,
you're,
but kind
you're
of.
You've still got this open area. That's the office.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that way.
I think that'll help.
Like
I think that would help. Yes.
And I think that that should be restructured in, mm-hmm. In every one that we do.
Yes.
Because you can't help when you're reading this stuff to look up and talk.
Right.
So automatically, they think you're engaging them. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the same thing. When I was talking, I was looking out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you're right. A lot of it is because we were all in this row.
Yeah.
Passing
yes.
out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we're engaging them into our meeting. So
it's like my head knew that I was addressing you guys, but mm-hmm. my body was more like.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think just, I mean, the circumstances with COVID trying to have some distance between people.
Mm-hmm.
I think this even makes more sense.
Maybe when we get back mm-hmm. to a more normal situation, mm-hmm. we can keep the first couple of rows empty.
Yeah.
And provide some degree of separation. Mm-hmm. between those that come to watch the meeting or listen mm-hmm. And us, but
well, even if we did,
you know, trying to watch that screen in the back,
yeah, that's
causes,
crazy.
Yes,
you know, causes
yeah.
you to look up.
Well, those are individual desks too that we're
right. Yeah, they move.
So those can be put just
yes.
like this. Okay, that you're still the crowd sees you, but you're looking across at each other.
Right.
Yeah.
As you're talking.
Right.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good because again that hopefully helps eliminate any confusion.
Yes.
Or at least reduce that confusion,
right,
about
know,
you know
I'm
this
guilty,
is this is our meeting.
I'm talking.
This is our meeting because we have limited time to
right.
work
this
through
why,
the business
this is
why of
I'm
the.
I'm so happy about the community coffee because I'm
yes.
going to say, look, this is not a place where we do back and
right.
forth. We do it at the community coffee or by
right.
email.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See,
and even by email, like, you know, I can't really put it's a real struggle to respond because I can't put any opinions in there. I can't say the board is thinking this or we're going to do that, you know, because
yeah.
I can't do that on email, you know.
Right.
So really the community coffees, or if we see somebody out in the community, you can at least you can listen. You're still not going to be saying this is what the board is going to do because
right.
you don't know,
yeah.
you know. But
it's so important with
yes.
a levies coming up in a year or two or three that we build trust,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that comes from at least being able to sit face to face with somebody, even for 10 minutes at a community coffee.
Right.
That changes the whole dynamic, and if people want to come to our meetings and we can say hi to them after the meeting,
right.
or, you know, I'm thinking both about the integrity of our meetings, but also about building that trust over time.
Yes.
And I hope those people who came last month, even as sort of worked up as some people were, they took in what Sue was saying. You know, we want to hear from you. We care about your opinions. We're just not going to thrash it out right now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
There was a few people that set the sparks in that
mm-hmm.
place. And those are the same ones that are going to be back to spark at this
yeah.
any other time you have a meeting. So
right. yep.
But you know who they are, and mm-hmm. you just try to.
So I did want to take a minute to address something mm-hmm. that you started with.
Okay.
The fact that you, as president of the board, respond to the emails
mm-hmm.
does not mean that the rest of us are not reading every one of those emails.
Right.
So I just want to state again for the record.
Yes.
Is that we are all reading yeah. all of those emails.
Right.
And there's been a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And some are easy to, you know, there are a few that I've just are sitting in drafts because I'm like, I just really don't know how to respond.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you just remind people we're all human and we're all struggling
as well
with everyone else. This is the probably the most challenging situation I think I have ever
yeah,
faced.
Not just on school board, but ever in life.
Yes, exactly. I mean, within your own family.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm reading all of them, and I'm really grateful that you're responding. I don't know what I would do, but every once in a while one comes through that's not to the whole board.
Right.
Am I supposed to forward it to the whole board, or what am I supposed to do with that?
I mean, I'm fine if you want, if somebody sends one just to you, then I'm fine if you want to respond to them. You know, just make sure you're not responding
as a person.
Yeah, as like the entire board. But if somebody knows you, feels comfortable reaching out to you.
Well, sometimes it's somebody I know, but usually it's just around. It's like, oh, that one doesn't have the whole board at the top. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think sometimes those ones, they'll send it to each person. Because they want to see if they can get a different app. Seriously.
Yes. Right.
So I won't answer them. I don't answer them if they're not to the whole board.
Okay.
And because this is my, but
right.
because the field I'm in, I look at those puzzles and I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah.
So now they want to get an answer from me, one from Nan, one from Brian, one from
that Rick. Person said this, that person said
and
that.
And then they start a show of all that. And so I don't even acknowledge those. If they are not to the whole board, I don't acknowledge them.
I've gotten a couple that were directed to me from people that I know, and I will respond to those, but I will follow the lead of the president and say, thank you for contacting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate your time.
I hear your concerns, or you know, I mean, just like acknowledging pretty much,
right? But not say any opinion on anything.
Not taking, not saying, you know, I agree with you or I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just that I've listened.
Right.
I know what it is you've said, and it will be part of the process. So.
Yeah. And because that, like to Nan's point, you know, everybody reads them all, and that's it goes into, you know, I mean. When we all read them, we're going to get done and we're all going to have different opinions based on all of those emails.
Sure.
And that's what our discussion will be about.
And I can remember when we were talking about how we were going to handle emails, and we decided that the board president would respond for the board so that there would be a single response rather than
multiple
responses and end up with confusion. So.
And that was part of our board protocol. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it has worked exceptionally well. That piece of it. So.
I do see we had that prepare creative communications videos for staff, and we can I suppose that's something we don't really say how many. So I like the idea of keeping that in there as a reminder that we like to do some creative things at times. But
a message as we go into the holidays or
a flash mob sometimes.
Well, and you did one as part of the
the convocation.
Convocation.
Right.
And I thought that was really great. So.
Okay. Good. So we basically, for this year, you just want to just continue with our work plan?
I don't really have, as I read through, I couldn't see anything that jumped out at me that I was not comfortable with or felt.
I agree.
Strongly that it needs to be changed. All of the timelines are continuous.
Mm-hmm.
As Ryan said, the challenges this year are the past year continuing. So references to the health department, references to hybrid, remote, and virtual are still very relevant at this point.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong document. The only thing that maybe next year, if you look at the very last page, we were at the convocation. I think Amy had a conflict. I think I saw the rest of us there.
Mm-hmm.
That's another example of a really good way of, we try to visit the buildings, but also just like the video, ways of sort of helping the staff know that we're out there and that we have a face. And that we can chat, that sort of thing. So not mm-hmm. just the communication video, but even things like the convocation or mm-hmm. other opportunities. I almost think of it as not just communication, but morale.
Yeah, yep.
You know? Like a lot of the teachers walk around like thinking that we, I don't know what they think, we're some distant body that, you know, mm-hmm. we're sort of like not quite human.
I think they appreciate us just because we have been in the buildings or, you know, just know them from a variety of different
right.
things and see them out in the community.
I mean, being here 40 years.
Yes, yeah, yes.
You know.
Going to the football game
yeah,
or whatever.
Going to
right.
volleyball, soccer,
yeah.
football. I
Golf.
See them all. But,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So different ones at different, not all of mm-hmm. them the same. But, I mean, like one of the teachers that has been retired for years.
Mm-hmm.
I sat with her and her husband Friday night
mm-hmm.
when I went down for halftime, and I sat
yes.
down beside him and just chit-chatted for like 10-15 minutes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I think then we'll just, I've already got a draft where I've changed the dates to 21-22, and on that first goal we'll keep that added bolded section in there talking about, you know, during the pandemic, we're committed to this and that, and we'll keep everything else the same right now. And I would guess, you know, maybe after we go through the revision of the district strategic plan, that might spur some conversation for next year, or something. But for now,
yep.
hold steady and keep on
keep
supporting.
On keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. Okay. All right. Well, I think we got a lot accomplished tonight.
Yeah.
And I really, again, appreciate so much that orientation, putting all of that information together. Excellent
well,
job. Excellent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes. Thank you, ma'am. It was amazing.
A lot of work.
I know. Okay. So I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Right. Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith, yes. Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
And Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and our meeting is adjourned at 5:50.